Welcome to hour number two of our two-hour weekend get-together here on A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and here again is the host of the program, Carol Marks, now in conversation with Dr. Stephen Goldsmith. He's a graduate of Columbia College of Physicians and Surgeons, and he's going to talk to Carol about his new book titled The Healing Paradox, A Revolutionary Approach to Treating and Curing Physical and Mental Illness. It's published by North Atlantic Books.
Now, before we talk about homeopathy versus treatment through conventional medicine, let's talk about the physical disease that you developed many years. I believe I pronounced it right. What symptoms did it cause you, and what problems did you have taking the two traditional medicines that were appropriate for it?
I developed severe recurring attacks of vertigo, Carol, that nearly incapacitated me and were quite terrifying.
I bet.
They went on for a number of years. They were diagnosed as Meniere's disease, as I'm sure some listeners have had some familiarity with. And it's a disorder that conventional medicine really has no curative answer for, as unfortunately is the case for so many other ailments. The best that I was told that conventional medicine can do is prescribe medications that can suppress the symptoms, and in order for the symptoms to remain depressed, one has to keep taking the medication. So I did that, and one of the medicines was meclizine, which is a nonspecific medicine for vertigo, and I carried that around in my pocket for maybe 10 years because I never knew when one of these attacks was going to happen. Actually, one attack happened when I was in the midst of a session with a patient, and I had to basically get on the floor and hold on to my desk because the vertigo is severe. And the other medication is a diuretic diazide that's used for other purposes like hypertension, but it also can suppress the symptoms of Meniere's disease, and it did for a while, but then its effectiveness wore off, and so I was without it a while. I tried it again. It worked for a while, but for shorter and shorter periods. And there were really no other answers that conventional medicine
at that time, right? And you know what? It makes sense that all these drugs that we take for our symptoms give us all kinds of side effects and stop working, because really our body's reacting in a healthy way because a foreign chemical's been put in your body, and they don't like it. So that makes sense.
You're absolutely right, Carol. So I turned to traditional Chinese medicine, and the practitioners I saw were very highly qualified. They were kind. They didn't really help with the vertigo. In fact, I had another disorder, incidentally, that they did help with, Raynaud's syndrome, which is a constriction of the vessels, blood vessels in one's hands, but they didn't do anything for the vertigo. So I turned to homeopathic medicine, with which I was already familiar, and I started treating myself, which is not the best idea, but I guess that's why I'm a physician, because I'm a terrible patient. And so I tried a number of different medicines, and finally one worked for me, and it actually appeared to suppress and stop the attacks of the vertigo. At the same time, I also changed my diet, too. So what percentage was from one and what percentage of relief was from the other, one can't be sure.
But you're very happy with the results. Now,
yes.
I wanted you to explain what you meant when you wrote that conventional medicine, and I'm really talking about Western medicine, it can make you better if you're acutely ill, but it can't make you well. So what is making medicine transform the acutely ill into the chronically ill, and then you've got the chronically ill going on to become intractably ill. So is there any explanation that you have?
Yes, and there are two sets of reasons, Carol. And curiously, they're both incontrovertible. If you presented these reasons to any conventionally practicing physician, he or she would agree these are true, and yet they disregard the implications. The first of these is that it's our attitude towards disease that prevents our curing it, and that attitude being an adversarial one, in which we see disease almost as something separate from ourselves, as an enemy.
I love that word that you use in the book, enemy, because that really makes an impression when you say that we think of illness as the enemy.
Yes. And we don't think of it so much as part of ourselves. This is what we are doing, but it's almost as if it's something separate. It's an opponent that we must combat, we must fight, we must try to vanquish. And, in fact, the truth, the way to cure people, as I can elaborate on subsequently, is to do exactly the opposite of what Western medicine does in that regard. Because when we go see a physician and we're ill, our physicians, conventionally practicing physicians, try to change us. They, particularly with the use of pharmaceuticals, they try to change us to become well. Now, that may make sense on one level, but there's a universal and fundamental law of nature that goes against that, which is that all living beings, as you suggested earlier, Carol, resist attempts by any outside influence to change them. We're actually hardwired, in other words, to defeat Western medical treatment, particularly pharmaceutically oriented treatment. And why do we do this? It's very simple. In order for us to survive as living, flourishing beings, we need to maintain an inner stability, an inner equilibrium, homeostasis. And we need to maintain this equilibrium in the face of recurring environmental threats and disturbances of all kinds, ranging from pollutants to microbes to severe changes in weather. And that also includes pharmaceuticals, which, as you said, don't belong in our body naturally any more than pollutants or some of these other factors do. So we're actually hardwired to defeat pharmaceuticals and a number of other methodologies of conventional medicine.
And you know, Dr. Goldsmith, I also want to say that one of the good things about homeopathy is that it really treats the whole person, not just the symptoms. Yeah. But here's something that I've got to ask you. I know there are 3,000 homeopathic remedies that are available. And that brings me to the chapter in your book. It's called A Little Poison is Good for You. So can you explain, so our listeners can understand, how small doses of a toxic substance can actually stimulate your body's defense system to heal itself?
Sure. Well, if we're talking about homeopathy, the medicines in homeopathy are, for the most part, not actually chemicals. They're little bundles of energy that are prescribed by a practitioner to match the sort of imbalance manifested by the person they're treating. And so the remedies themselves are a kind of mirror of the pattern of the symptoms and experiences of that person. Now, why something that is very much like what you're actually suffering from can actually cure you as opposed to, on the other hand, doing something to try to oppose what you're suffering from, which does not cure you, as I mentioned. Why something very much like what you're suffering from can cure you is in fact a good deal of the subject of my book, The Healing Paradox. And what is involved, I believe, is the second main principle in healing, and that is that all true healing, Albert Schweitzer was the first to voice this many, many years ago, all healing is self-healing. You, in order to cure illness, you've got to generate, stimulate, enhance the self-healing, internal self-healing resources within you, or treatment has to do that.
Dr. Stephen Goldsmith, in conversation with Carol Marks. His book is titled The Healing Paradox, A Revolutionary Approach to Treating and Curing Physical and Mental Illness, published by North Atlantic Books. If you want more information, go to the website greenpsychiatrist.com. Carol Marks returns in just a moment with an interview with Judge Jeanine Pirro. That's next when A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues.
Hello?
Louise, it's Ralph. Listen, would you go out with me tomorrow?
At 8? Ralph, I'd love to.
I have an appointment with my orthopedic surgeon, and I really want you to come along.
A doctor's office? That's so special. Oh, I just remembered I have to delete some emails.
Come on, Louise. We're going to talk about the pain in my hip, and I could use a little support.
I guess I'm not very hip.
You could take notes and help me remember stuff. Look, I have all my doctor questions written down, but there's so much to remember. I need you there with me so I don't miss anything.
Couldn't we just play miniature golf?
Louise, I'm not asking for a kidney.
Bringing someone to your appointment is a good way to make sure you and your physician are on the same page. The idea is to partner with your doctor and share information so you can make informed decisions together. For more on patient-doctor communications, visit orthoinfo.org, a message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, where patient-centered care means getting better together.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and here again is Carol Marks. In conversation now with Judge Jeanine Pirro. She's a highly respected champion of women's rights who has received national recognition for her work as a leading advocate for crime victims. She's currently the host of Justice with Judge Jeanine on television, and she's going to talk about her new novel, Clever Fox, a Danny Fox novel, published by Hyperion.
Your decision to become a lawyer, how old were you when your mother said you knew you wanted to become a lawyer? And what were two important things she emphasized that she wanted you to do?
You know, Carol, it's interesting that you would start with my mom, because without a doubt there is no question that my mom is the person who gave me the moral core and the sense of obligation that I've carried with me throughout the course of my life. I've been a prosecutor, a judge, and a DA for 30 years. I have run for office 5 times for DA as well as for judge. And my job was to make sure that the underdog, the victim, the silent person, who for no reason became a part of the criminal justice system, had their day in court. And so for me, it was something that was ingrained in me from when I was a little girl. And to answer your question directly, I was about 6 years old, and I said to my mom that I wanted to be a lawyer. And, you know, I grew up in small-town America, upstate New York, and, you know, the thinking was back then that, you know, you were either a mommy or a wife or a teacher. And, of course, that was 35, 40 years ago. And for me, the opportunity to, you know, fight for the rights of the crime victim and to make sure that battered women and abused children and the elderly had some justice was the core of my career. I started the first domestic violence unit in the nation in 1978 when, you know, everyone thought that battered women, you know, were inconsequential. And the truth is that, you know, women were being murdered and shot and brutalized more frequently in the home than by any other category in criminal justice. So, you know, my mom and, you know, has given me a sense of right and wrong. And that's what Danny Fox and the latest Danny Fox book, Clever Fox, is all about. It's about a young prosecutor who goes into the criminal justice system when it's an all-male boys club and decides that she's going to fight for justice, but at the same time, she is young, she is vulnerable, she is naive in the, you know, in the ways of prosecutors and politics. And Clever Fox talks about the politics that enter into the prosecution of crime. And we know, Carol, from the Zimmerman case, how much politics plays into crime. And,
absolutely,
you know, the public does have a hunger. Yes, it does. And the public has a hunger for this kind of stuff. And through Clever Fox, I show the reader, because I ran an office in a county of a million people, what it's like, how resources are provided to some cases and not to others. And, you know, the whole Danny Fox theory, starting with Fly Fox, now Clever Fox, is really an education and an inside bird's-eye view of what goes on.
Is it ever? And, you know, I never knew before I read this book, in particular, about the competition that exists between the federal organization, the FBI, and the local police in charge of the area where the crime occurred. So why does that happen? And goodness.
Oh, Carol, it is the biggest secret in law enforcement, the turf war between the feds and the locals. I know it. I've lived it. I've experienced it. I've watched it. There is so much competition. And Clever Fox, in Clever Fox, you see it. And then we all stand together at the podium, you know, I as a sitting DA and, you know, bringing in the feds, or they're bringing me in on some cases, like we're the best of pals and we thank each other for law enforcement. Meanwhile, we're beating it out of each other, trying to make sure, you know, that we get the case, that they don't get the case, that, you know, and Clever Fox identifies that. And anyone who is a real law enforcement veteran will tell you how brutal that can get. And here's the rub, though, in the in Clever Fox. Danny Fox is torn between two men. And much to her dismay, one of the men is a fed. And, you know, she hates the feds, and they have no love lost for her, because she has this sense of right and wrong. And, you know, what's right is right, and what's wrong is wrong. And her mom taught her that. And I you know, Danny is me, of course. And, you know, I talk about my mom in the book, and Danny's mom, and how she goes back to her and says, you know, her mother's a muse and she needs her mother's input. But, you know, when she's torn between these two men, what she doesn't know about one of them can be very dangerous to her. And it kind of reminds me of so many women were vulnerable, you know, we think that what we see is what we get, and then all of a sudden we realize it's not all that it seems.
And what I loved about your book, and I'm not going to give it away, about finding out who the real villain is, and I didn't have a clue until the very end of your book.
Oh, good. I'm glad we didn't give it away too much, because you are very savvy, Carol, and you would have gotten it. I'm happy to hear that.
And when you started writing, though, did you really know who the bad guy was going to wind up being? You did?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because I live this stuff. Remember, you know, I prosecuted, as you said, you know, murders, rapes, and violent felonies. I ran an office where we prosecuted 40,000 cases a year in a county of a million people. I mean, I've been there. I've been in those rooms. I've done the negotiating. I've called the shots. And then I've, you know, in some cases, have had to sit by while others call the shots. And that's what Danny does. Danny learns the system. You know, Danny is this. She may be naive in the sense that she doesn't know everything about law enforcement, but from her mother, she gets this moral core of, hey, this is right, this is wrong, I have to speak up, I have to say something. And in Sly Fox, one of the first things that we see Danny confront is the fact that the cops end up beating up a suspect. And she opens her mouth because it's wrong, and then she suffers the consequences within law enforcement. And it's pretty much all the things that I've gone through, and this is real stuff. So I loved it. I did it for 30 years, Carol.
And, you know, it's still going on. And in your mystery, there are several attorneys who base their decisions on how they're going to handle the case according to what's going to help them or not win the next election. So,
yeah,
I'm sure you saw these things when you were practicing. I call them amoral practices, and it's sad. Is there any suggestion for correcting these self-serving ways? What about having more criminal justice personnel appointed and not elected?
Well, you know, I to be honest with you, I've been an elected judge and I've been an elected district attorney. Now, the feds are appointed, not elected.
Right.
And there are some judges who are appointed and not elected. And I have to tell you, Carol, I really think that that even if you've got someone who's not elected, they are appointed by someone. And at the very core is the political motivation by the person who appointed them or the person who funds them or the person, you know, from whom they get the press. I mean, trust me, this is it's a system that is at its heart, you know, based on self-interest. And we see it in Congress. We see it, you know, and I talk about this on my show, Justice with Judge Jeanine, and you can follow me on Twitter and, you know, Facebook at Judge Jeanine, all that stuff. But we see it in politics and we see it in Congress. You know, there's always someone who's pulling the strings, and sometimes I think that elections, to answer your question directly, are better. I think the public, just like juries, have a real sense of what's right and what's wrong. And I go back to that. I go back to the public. I go back to small government. That's kind of who I am based on, you know, more than 30 years in criminal justice. And now, you know, on television watching politics a little closer as opposed to running.
That's right. And, you know, in the past, you have stepped into the political arena. So, Judge Pirro, do you think that Danny Fox will someday in another sequel also tackle politics? Because I think that would be really cool.
Well, since Danny Fox is my alter ego, or, you know, is me, and I ran for office, and I ended up running the office where I kind of got beat up a little bit as a young, naive, only female prosecutor, you can rest assured that Danny will, you will watch the ascent from lowly, only female to being the boss. And I'm looking forward to that one because that was very sweet, Carol.
That's Judge Jeanine Pirro in conversation with Carol Marks. Her novel is called Clever Fox, a Danny Fox novel published by Hyperion. A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues right here in just a moment.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on MatchingDonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. MatchingDonors.com improves those odds by finding living, altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to MatchingDonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's MatchingDonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security web pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
This is a Driving Today Minute. Even though high gasoline prices have moderated somewhat, they're still quite high. It just makes good sense to do what you can do to reduce your fuel costs. The Alliance to Save Energy suggests a few easy things you can do.
Keep your car properly tuned up and change the air filter regularly, both to save gas and protect your engine. Curtail aggressive driving. According to the U.S. Department of Energy, speeding, rapid acceleration, and hard braking waste gas and curb mileage by as much as 33% at highway speeds.
So nix the jackrabbit starts and opt instead for slow acceleration from a dead stop. Slow down. The DOE says each mile per hour you drive over 60 is like paying an extra 10 cents per gallon. Inflate tires to the proper pressure. This will increase fuel economy and make tires safer and extend their life.
This Driving Today Minute is brought to you by Bridgestone Firestone Tires. You can get more information like this at drivingtoday.com or by visiting our partners such as autobytel.com, motorsportsforum.com, and more.
You're listening to A Touch of Gray.
check out our website at atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E. That's atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to godirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
If you plan to apply for Social Security disability benefits, there are things you can do to help speed up the usual 3 to 5 month wait for a decision. The more information you provide up front, the less time it'll take us to obtain the needed evidence, and the faster the decision can be made. Information like medical records or documentation, the names, addresses, and phone numbers of your doctors and medical facilities, information on your past employment, and more. To be prepared, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/disability and select Disability Starter Kits.
Continuing with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor seat, and we're joined the rest of the way by our senior correspondent, Richard Neer, who just moments from now will be talking with Paul Reyes. He's an Express Scripts pharmacist and host of that particular company's radio show, Ask the Pharmacist. He's going to talk about a new survey that showed seniors have misconceptions about the Affordable Care Act and Medicare. And, Richard, I know that you've already conducted this interview. It's in the can, as they say, and it's going to have its world premiere right here on this show in a few minutes. Are you surprised that seniors have misconceptions about the Affordable Care Act and Medicare? I think everybody does.
Well, sure, if we only knew what was what and what was where and all of that, I think it's I wouldn't go so far as to call it a train wreck, but there are some aspects of it that definitely need ironing out. Let's put it that way.
I find Medicare alone is quite a complicated subject to deal with when you reach the age of 65 and you actually have to start filling out the forms.
Well, since I'm not quite there yet, I haven't, but
you will find
I will
out.
Be doing that in the next few months.
Yeah,
so,
well, start early because it takes. Yeah. It says it takes only 10 minutes or as much as a half hour. Per hour for a week. But we look forward to hearing this conversation. And then when you get back after it, I'd like you to come back and we'll finish out the this two-hour get-together with some words. So Richard Neer is next talking to Paul Reyes about misconceptions about what is traditionally called these days Obamacare. And something that is a tradition, Medicare, right here when A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues in a moment.
Hi, This is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said, you are the picture of health? You look healthy and you feel fine. But that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Doesn't always cause symptoms, but it can be prevented. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. Michael Harrison here in the anchor chair, and as promised, here's our senior correspondent, Richard Neer, in conversation with Paul Reyes. He's an Express Scripts pharmacist and the host of Ask the Pharmacist. He'll talk about a new survey that showed seniors have misconceptions about the Affordable Care Act and Medicare.
And, Paul, I don't know if you saw it, or I'm sure you heard about it, the Jimmy Kimmel bit where he was asking people, did they prefer the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare? And almost universally, they said, well, the Affordable Care Act is much, much better than Obamacare, not even realizing it's the same thing. So, did you see that?
No, I didn't see that. That's funny.
Well, there is obviously a lot of misinformation out there about that. And you've done a study, and I'm sure you found the same results.
Oh, we sure did. You know, we polled over 1,100 Americans, 65 and older, to try to get their understanding, kind of get their take of where they are with understanding their Medicare prescription drug plan, Part D for drug, and the Affordable Care Act. And it was amazing, some of the information we got back. 87% of them said they were confused, and that probably wasn't a surprise. But 65% of them actually thought that the eligibility age was going to increase because of this. Not sure where they got that information from, but that's not true. And 17% felt that the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, the healthcare exchanges were actually going to replace Medicare, and that's not true either. So I wanted to kind of debunk a few of those myths out there and try to give some of the seniors the information they need so they can make an informed choice, because Medicare Part D, open enrollment.
Now, when it comes to Medicare, does the Affordable Care Act affect it at all?
It does, and we're talking specifically about Part D, the drug coverage part. So there's two things that actually impact it, and I think they're good things. The donut hole, or the coverage gap that we talk about with prescription benefits, the Part D plan, is actually decreasing. It's shrinking. And by 2020, it'll actually be gone. And that's part of the Affordable Care Act. So that donut hole that many seniors got caught in is actually shrinking. And so over time, that's going to go away. And I think that's a good thing for seniors. And this year, there's also some changes in and around preventative screening options. And Medicare Part D will actually pay for some vaccines. So once again, I think that's a good thing. It's taking more of a preventative measured approach to healthcare, and I think the prevention is really what we're looking for. And as a pharmacist in particular, you know, when we saw some of the numbers about 20% of the seniors are skipping appointments, 17 are delaying refills, and 14 are skipping medication doses altogether. That's not what we want. We want patients taking their medication and being informed about their choices and then living longer, healthier lives instead of letting some of these diseases catch up to them.
Yeah, and the unfortunate thing is there's so much bluster in the news about so many things involving this Affordable Care Act and Medicare as well. I mean, there was talk about raising the age, and then there was talk about cutting the benefits, and both sides politically were lobbing grenades back and forth on this thing. So I can see where the average person would go, well, wait a minute, I thought they were talking about this, not knowing whether they actually did it or not.
Oh, absolutely. That's I could see very easily where that confuses a lot of people who are, you know, trying to live their day-to-day lives, and they're just getting some of this information out there. We actually here at Express Scripts have a website called roadmapformedicare.com where it lays out all these talking points that I'm saying today, and then try to make it easy for seniors and those people who are helping seniors make an informed decision and saying, okay, well, what's going to change and what do I need to do to for me to get the most out of my Medicare Part D prescription drug plan, because I want to know how these changes are going to impact what I'm doing.
Now, we have a lot of people listening to the program who are not quite 65, who are not at Medicare age yet, but are approaching that. What do they need to do in terms of Part D prior to reaching 65? Do they have to, let's say they have a job and they have insurance through their job, if they don't sign up for Part D when they hit 65, do they lose the ability to do that? How does that work?
Right, and that is the key age right there, is when you turn 65, that's your opportunity to enroll in Medicare Part D, the prescription drug plan. If you don't have an employer option already or some retirement benefit or otherwise have coverage, if not, you may have to wait an entire year till open enrollment next year. So 65 is that key. And open enrollment starts on October 15th. It ends on December 7th this year, which is a date most seniors can remember,
yeah.
October 15th through December 7th, to try to pick the plan that's best for them. And there's a lot of different plan options out there.
So in other words, if you do continue to work past 65 and do have employer insurance, you can hold off signing up for Medicare or Medicare Part D and still get it down the line when you do decide to retire. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. So that that clears up one certain misconception. Now, are there variations on Part D? Is it all standardized, or are there different plans that cover different things?
That's a great question. And so the way the plans are set up is they're set up regionally, and there's going to be different plans available depending on which part of the country you live in. Now, the first and best thing that I think patients need to do is recognize, okay, I'm a patient, I'm eligible for Medicare Part D, and either I have a plan and I want to change, or I'm new to Medicare. I need to first find out what medications am I taking, and then say, okay, let me look at some of these plans and make sure that that plan actually pays for those medications. There's different formularies or different lists of medications that are covered based on the plan. So I want to first find a plan that covers the meds I'm on, and then from there try to figure out, okay, what do I want to do? And the things I recommend most of the time are, you know, find a plan that has a good pharmacy of networks, you know, network pharmacy. So there may be more than one pharmacy in my area I may want to use. Look and talk to my doctor about generics. Generics can oftentimes save money. You know, does this plan have 24-hour pharmacist support in case I have a question? And do they do home delivery? Because sometimes that can save money as well. So find out, does this plan have the options that work for me? Because everyone's going to be a little bit different.
Certainly so. And are there deductibles in this case? Now, you say that the donut hole is shrinking and going to go away. What about deductibles?
Sure, and that's a great question. Every plan can be set up a little bit differently, but here's the basics of it. Some plans have a deductible, and most do, but not all of them. Some will have an initial coverage period, and that goes up until the first part of that donut hole or coverage gap we talked about, which this year is $2,850. And so what you want to do is find a plan that works for you. If you are on a plan that has a lot of medications. So in other words, if I use a lot of medications, I may want to try to find a plan that has a lower copayment part because I'm going to pay a lot of those copays. But if I'm on very few medications, well, then I may want one that has no deductible because otherwise I may never meet that deductible because I'm only on one or two medications this year. And so that's the kind of thing that we want patients to do, is sit down and say, okay, do I have a lot of medications? Do I have a few? Is there anything I can move to generic, or maybe what we call a generic alternative, which is a similar drug that's already gone generic, because some medications are in the same category but don't have a generic yet, but other medications do have a generic, but they'll do the same thing. And you got to sit down and really talk to your doctor about that.
Yeah, and a lot of times they'll just change one little thing on them and, this is new, when in actuality it's just basically the same drug, but they've specified it so that it doesn't look like it's the generic equivalent.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's one of the things that we've seen in the last 5, if not 10 years. It has been more discussions and frank discussions between patients and doctors saying, hey, doc, you know, I got this benefit plan. I want to use the most of it, but I'm on a fixed income, and I don't want to spend all my money on prescription drugs. What can we look at that may save me money over time, Richard? And that goes for anyone, to tell you the truth. But in particular, here at Express Scripts, you know, this is what we do. We understand Medicare Part D, the drug part, and that's why we set up that roadmapforcare.com. Is to answer these questions in basic English so patients could figure out, okay, how do I pick the right plan for me?
Roadmapforcare.com.
Roadmapformedicare.com.
For Medicare.com. Okay, let's get that correct. Roadmapformedicare.com. Now, we are aware that some seniors are not proficient with computers. Is there another way to get this information if they are not?
That's usually the best way to do it. Now, you can phone 1-800-MEDICARE. That's an option also. For patients to try to get answers to questions and try to guide them for the best way to pick the right plan. And ultimately, that's what we're talking about, is picking the right plan. And as a pharmacist, you know, my concern this time of year is always patients try to do their homework. Don't wait till December 6th, knowing that the open enrollment closes on December 7th. And a lot of times, for a lot of us, we're helping elderly patients or parents in trying to make the right plan. And sometimes having those resources to go online are helpful. If not, call that 1-800-MEDICARE number, and that, too, can actually get them the answers they're looking for.
Yeah, and I think that is key. If you're older and you're not proficient with computers and it intimidates you, you probably have a child or a nephew or somebody, a friend who is, and can sit you down in front of one and help you out. And it probably wouldn't take all that much time, right?
Oh, no. And, you know, the electronic brochure I was talking about, it's about 14 pages long. It's very nice in the way it breaks down the best way and a few tips on how to save money and how to maximize this plan. And like I said, it usually starts with a couple of things. One is knowing the dates for open enrollment and then knowing the medications you're on and picking that plan which best suits you. And if you're only on a few medications, you may want to look at one plan versus another for a patient who may be on multiple medications, and they know they're going to be on multiple medications throughout the year.
That's Paul Reyes in conversation with our senior correspondent, Richard Neer. And if you'd like more information, go to roadmapformedicare.com. That's roadmapformedicare.com. Richard Neer returns in just a moment, talking a bit about sports. We're going to talk about the difference between the kinds of fans for baseball, football, basketball, and hockey. Some overlap, some don't. And some other interesting aspects of popular culture. Also, if you want to check out more of the interviews and some of the older programs here on A Touch of Gray, go to our website, atouchofgray.com. It's spelled A Touch of Gray, and Gray is spelled with an E. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. We'll have our final segment of this two-hour get-together. Richard Neer returns in just a moment.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
She's conquered some of the most challenging ski courses anywhere, but with only one leg, the odds were against her even walking.
The growth was stunted in my right leg when I was born, and the doctors told my mother we needed to amputate when I was 5 years old.
Bonnie was helped at a Shriners Hospital, one of a network of 22 hospitals helping kids throughout North America. Shriners Hospitals provide world-class orthopedic and burn medical care, and they offer that care totally free of charge.
The care and treatment the Shriners gave me was a gift. It wasn't just about learning to walk. They helped me to believe in myself.
There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area realize their dreams.
If I went back to the Shriners Hospital and talked to the nurses and doctors, I would say thank you. Thank you for making my dreams come true.
If you know a child they could help, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to GoDirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Continuing with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and we come to the final segment of this big two-hour get-together here on the weekend, and we are rejoined by our senior correspondent, Richard Neer. Richard, you are a sporting type. You do a sports talk show as well as a show about novels and a show about general interest and also a show about upper demographic issues. You are a Renaissance man indeed, but let's talk about baseball. We just came to the conclusion of another baseball season, and I don't know, do people, I follow baseball, but not as religiously as football, although I have enjoyed this season very much because two very colorful teams fought it out in the World Series. Do people suffer from post-baseball season depression? The way they do with football?
I do. I really do. The thing, though, the one thing about baseball is when it's over, you still do have football. You have basketball starting hockey in full swing. When football is over, you still have at least 2 months before baseball begins.
Yep.
And if you're not a big basketball or hockey fan or Olympic fan, which I'm not, you're out in the cold.
Okay, what you're saying then is at least what the average fan needs is at least baseball or football. That having neither of them is very depressing.
I think so. Now, yeah. Basketball is third. I mean, it's close, and I think that there are a lot of people who, well, I got basketball. But, see, the problem is mid-season basketball, like February, mm-hmm. March, not all that exciting to me because, for the most part, 16 teams get into the playoffs. So, usually, your team is either in or out. You know, they're either going to be in or they're going to be so lousy that you have no shot. So it isn't like pennant races where, boy, you got to get that second wild card like you do in baseball or football. The division doesn't really matter in basketball. Same thing with hockey. You know, you have 16 hockey teams that make it. So the last few months of those seasons generally aren't as compelling as the last couple of weeks of football and the last few weeks of baseball.
Yeah. But you know, it's what do they call it? The second season?
Yeah.
And it is like a second season. I find that, I'm not a hockey fan, and I have a quick question about hockey fans because you cover all these sports. But I have become somewhat of a basketball fan, and I find that watching basketball prior to the playoffs is like watching preseason football. It's like, okay, you know, you don't sweat the wins and the losses as much as you do, obviously, during the playoffs. And there's nothing like Game 7 of the championship series, and oftentimes it comes to that. But hockey fans, are they a special breed? Or like you'll find people that like football also like baseball, and people that like basketball also like football. Even LeBron James has said he wants to be a football player. Michael Jordan wanted to be a baseball player. But you don't see any of them really wanting to be hockey players. But are hockey fans the same crowd, or are they a special crowd?
I think they're special. I think they, you know, in New York, for example, they say there are 20,000 hockey fans and they all go to the games. And I think that's true. They're very intense. They love their sport. They're very passionate about their sport. And I don't know that they're as into other sports, whereas football fans, I think, can be baseball fans. And certainly everybody's a football fan, so baseball fans are football fans generally. But hockey is kind of a niche sport, a very passionate niche, but a niche.
Is basketball on the rise? Is it enjoying a resurgence? Real quick, we only have 15 seconds.
I think so. And I think part of it is the Miami Heat. You either love them or hate them. And they've won two times in a row now, and they're going for the three-peat.
So they've been good. They've been good for the sport.
I think so.
Richard, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, Richard Neer. Thank you, Beverly Santanella, our producer on the front line. Thank you to the host and founder of the program, Carol Marks, Kevin Casey, and, of course, Steve Wiseman, the entire Touch of Grey team. I'm Michael Harrison, inviting you to join us next weekend right here for another two-hour installment of A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups.